This is The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. A swarm of environmental threats are driving down bee populations worldwide. In response, honeybees and their keepers in North America became the face of Save the Bees. But apiarists in Delaware are sounding the alarm on the ongoing threat to native bee populations. Delaware Public Media's Rachel Sawicki explores the buzz about bees with first aid experts and advocates, and what Delawareans can do to help certain bee species take flight.
It's the first time state apiarist Emily Wine has been out to check on her honeybee colonies this spring. She zips up her bee suit, making sure there are no small openings for the bees to creep into, and stuff some newspaper and kindling into her bee smoker.
Basically, the smoke calms them down and keeps them from stinging you.
Wine started beekeeping in college more than 10 years ago, originally studying environmental science and then going on to get her master's in entomology. Now she spends most of her days helping beekeepers inspect their colonies and educating wannabe keepers. Today, Wine is looking for varroa mites, the most damaging pest for honeybees. She scoops out half a cup of bees, around 300 of them, and dumps them in an alcohol wash. She shakes it and looks for the mites that settle at the bottom.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm counting. That means I'm going to have to treat this spring because the treatment threshold in the spring is 1%.
Honeybees are not among the 4,000-plus bee species native to North America, like bumblebees or carpenter bees. And as foreigners, honeybees have also adapted to feed on other non-native species, thus pollinating them and potentially contributing to invasive plant growth. And when a hive is infested with varroa mites, its residents can also carry viruses, risking spillover into native bee populations.
It's important to keep your honeybee colonies healthy and make sure that they do have low levels of pathogens and viruses so that they're not really spreading that in the landscape, whether that's to other honeybees or to native bees.
The Save the Bee movement exploded in the early 2000s, responding to increasing concern about declining bee populations. Wine estimates the number of beekeepers in the state have gone up by about 200, from 301 to 512 since 2006, noting Delaware bee law requires that all apiaries be registered annually to maintain accurate records of the number of beekeepers and bee colonies in Delaware, but many often fall behind. It also helps Wine to respond effectively to disease outbreaks. And now, given the current state of the agriculture industry, Wine says the native bee population isn't big enough to support all crop pollination.
For producing honey, for producing wax, for doing pollination, honeybees are critical for agriculture in a way that our native bees aren't able to fulfill with the way our current agricultural system is. So we need them for agriculture. And they're great for small business and the economy and being able to produce those hive products.
While honeybees offer a helping hand at times, the reality is,
I would say there is a real bee crisis, but it's a native bee crisis. It's not a honeybee crisis.
That's backed up by the Delaware Wildlife Action Plan, created by DenRec's Division of Fish and Wildlife. It notes flower-visiting insects account for 50% of all known insect extinctions, and 11 of Delaware's more than 250 species of bees and wasps were identified as species of greatest conservation need. But a few simple additions to a garden or even a front doorstep can help and will likely attract native bees over honeybees. Native bees are more solitary, nesting in the ground or other cavities, and are not able to optimize their foraging decisions the way honeybees do, like a democracy, making collective decisions to forage on the most abundant nectar sources and will travel as far as 3 to 5 miles to find them.
If you've got this little patch of land by your house, you may not be able to plant enough to really attract a whole bunch of honeybees, but you could provide a good habitat for some native bees that are foraging just in that small range.
Even so, Wine concedes that with a hive mentality and beekeepers to coddle them, honeybees are not going anywhere anytime soon.
This is a nice hive. Oh, that's pretty. Look at that. This is just really pretty.
Sussex Vice President of the Delaware Beekeepers Association, Jim Hopkins, loves his honeybees. This year, he'll be managing more bee colonies than ever before, more than 60, which at its peak could amount to more than 3 million honeybees. This is the first time Hopkins has cracked his hives open since the fall, and from the looks of it, they've been busier than, well, you know.
See all the larvae in here? This is a pretty strong hive. I could split this today.
The queen has been busy making babies, and it's time to split the hive to make room for more. But Hopkins isn't just raising healthy honeybee hives to fight off mites. While Wine treats any colonies with a 1% varroa mite concentration, Hopkins has two thriving colonies with mite thresholds upwards of 13%.
You see this hive here? That one and this one with a tag were part of a USDA survey last year. I did not treat them last year. Emily tested them. We were at 0 mites the 1st of May. 2nd of October, we were at 13.7%. 3% is a lot. 13.7%.
Yeah, that's, I mean, at that point, the hive's done, right?
Bees are coming out of it. I just split one of them.
Oh, so they are?
Yes.
Oh, so they had all these mites. There was a 13.7%, but...
There's something about those bees that allowed them to overcome 13.7% infestation. That's the genetic testing I'm doing.
Hopkins says that something is a grooming behavior that honeybees naturally developed in response to varroa mites, and that the USDA is now trying to breed into honeybee populations as fast as possible.
Allo grooming or auto. Auto is themselves, allo is the others. It's like you see a pride of monkeys picking lice. They're doing the same type behavior. It's a grooming behavior, and it's a genetic add-on behavior.
Hopkins says when it comes to honeybees, the pros and cons of how they affect native bees is more of a wash.
And I think that we need to treat them all as pollinators instead of different species of bees, because they're all subject to the same environmental hazards, whether it's temperature or humidity or drought or... What we have here is dearth. We hit July and there's nothing for them to eat.
He says today's bee populations need more grasses and flowering plants, not only to feed on, but to hide in and reproduce. And he has an idea of where to plant.
Just what we've done to ditches and median strips is enough to feed them all.
Yeah,
save the gas, save the emissions, let it grow. Make it beautiful. Be proud of it.
No,
we're a small state. We can do these things. The worst they could do is take a strip of Kirkwood Highway and turn it into a flower patch. Where's the downside?
Mount Cuba Center Public Programs Coordinator Leah Brooks argues that native bees are essential to a diverse ecosystem and in many ways are better pollinators than honeybees. Honeybees are great for pollinating certain monoculture crops, but they can't perform buzz pollination like many native bees can, which is essential to increase yield of crops like blueberries, tomatoes, and peppers. She adds native bees are just messier pollinators, and that increases the chances of pollination as they travel from plant to plant.
So if we just had honeybees, our native ecosystems would be suffering for it. And in some cases, we have the honeybees outcompeting the native bees in those ecosystems. And since they're not pollinating the native plants the same way that the native bees are, or they're preventing the native bees from adequately pollinating them, you can run into issues.
Brooks says many of North America's native bees are in decline due to habitat loss, degradation, and fragmentation.
Natural habitats like grasslands and forests, they're chock full of native vegetation. Those are being replaced at a rapid rate by roadways, monocultured lawns, crops, and non-native gardens. And when this happens, the natural resources that the native bees need for nesting, overwintering, and foraging are destroyed, or they're changed in such a drastic way that the bees can't adapt and persist to survive in that area.
And in areas where those sorts of resources are already limited, beekeeping can actually exacerbate the problem.
Raising honeybees to save the bees is like raising chickens to save the birds. Native bee populations are declining, and I don't see a reversal in near future unless everybody got on board and we as a society understood which issues those native bees are facing and how we can fix them. So for people who say to themselves, I want to help, so I'm going to look into getting a hive, I would say reconsider and instead think about, I want to help pollinators. Let me see how I can help native bees. And their first step is, if they have a space to do it in, would be planting native flowers.
For the amateur or expert gardener, Brooks suggests limiting herbicide and insecticide use to targeted applications instead of non-selective broad spectrum sprays. Best case scenario, eliminate it altogether and adopt an approach known as integrated pest management, combining multiple methods such as attracting natural predators to the garden or pulling weeds by hand. And for those who don't have the yard or space for planting, Brooks says they can still be an advocate for native bees and help change the narrative that bees are scary or threatening.
They don't have a hive to protect. They aren't protecting their resources, their brood. They are just doing their own thing. So I find that that is often helpful for people to know. If you're scared of bees, and it's usually from a run-in with a honeybee, that the native bees are usually more relaxed.
And as demonstrated by Wine and Hopkins, honeybees aren't much interested in interacting with people either.
Look at us. We're standing right in the midst of, what did we say, 200,000 bees or so, and we're fine.
But we should be interested in them, Wine says, namely their well-being, because the world's food supply depends on it. Rachel Sawicki, Delaware Public Media.
Thanks, Rachel. Up next, Arts Playlist, and a preview of a Delaware native's new horse-centric exhibit at the Biggs Museum of American Art. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.